Blog Talk Radio.
And let us focus our attention upon the lessons titled Overcoming Otherness. From otherness to onlyness. And we have two words here which I have coined. I've not seen these words used before. Otherness and onlyness. Let's pronounce them. Again,
otherness and onlyness.
This is a very important principle that we want to acquaint our minds with. And I'm going to read the text for you from St. John, the first chapter and the 29th verse. And I'm going to have you repeat it after me for emphasis. The next day John seeth Jesus.
Coming unto him.
And saith,
Behold,
the Lamb of God,
which taketh away
the sin of the world. And I have a transliteration of that just below it, and I'll have you repeat it after me. Behold the Lamb of God.
Good.
Love.
Beholding the Lamb.
Takes away the sin of the world. And of course, these are the words of St. John the Baptist, pointing to Jesus, pointing esoterically to God in us. And now the words of Jesus from 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse. This is the victory.
That overcomes the world.
Even our faith. Now we have the words of Jesus from St. John, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse. Be of good cheer.
I have overcome the world.
Now let's go into the esoteric commentary of these words and see what we mean when we talk about overcoming otherness and going from otherness to onlyness. We have the words, behold the Lamb. Now, behold is an interesting word. It's not too often that it is used in modern English, but it's a strong word. Behold means to catch and maintain a grip with the eye of spiritual insight, to seize with spiritual insight, and to hang on. And so it's a very strong term when we're told, behold the Lamb. It means catch, grip this idea with the eye of spiritual insight. Seize this idea with the eye of spiritual insight and hang on to this idea with the mind's eye. So to behold means to hang on with the mind's eye. Say that.
To behold means to seize with spiritual insight.
All right, that means that we have to be aware of our spiritual insight, and we have to learn to exercise our spiritual insight. Our spiritual insight must become stronger and stronger, and we must learn how to control our spiritual insight. It's very important. The results, as we shall see, are very great. There's a song, an old spiritual, titled, Hold On to Jesus. That's another way of saying it. And this, of course, is holding on with the eye of the mind. Holding on with spiritual insight. To behold means to see just. To see just. To see only the God, the good, the love in us. To see Him, God in us, as He really is, and He shall appear in us, through us, and as us. I want you to seize that. I want you to behold that. You become just like what you look at. You become just like what you behold. The mind becomes just like what it sees. Say that. The mind becomes just like that which it sees. Let's say it again. The mind becomes just like that which it sees. And I'll play with words and say it almost the same way. And I mean to be verbose here because I want you to behold this. I want you to catch a hold of this idea. The mind becomes just like that which it looks upon. I heard Reverend Ike tell this story before, and it's apropos that it be repeated here. It is the story of a little hunchback prince. And his father, the king, got an idea one day and had a statue of the young prince built and placed in the courtyard where the young prince played for hours every day. And that statue was exactly like the physique of the young prince in every detail except one. The statue was not a hunchback. The statue was straight and erect. And daily the young prince played in the courtyard around that straight, upright statue of himself. And he would see it, both physically, but more than that, he saw it with the eye of his mind, both consciously and subconsciously. And after a period of time, his body began to straighten up until at last all signs and appearances of being a hunchback were gone. And his body was just like that upright stature that he looked at every day as he played in the courtyard. You remember the old comic who would say, "What you see is what you get"? Not only what you see is what you get, but what you see is what you become. And I'm sure that the young prince, as he played around that statue looking at it, I'm sure he was fascinated by it. Reverend Ike has a tape out titled, "Your Power of Fascination." Because you see, when you see, you become like that which you fasten your inner vision upon. I become like that which I fasten my inner vision upon. Say that.
I become like that.
But you see, there's something dangerous about this too. And it's good that I make you aware of this. This is why we call this mind science. Because it makes us aware of the unconscious, subconscious processes of the mind. The young prince was probably not taught mind science. The king knew it. And as a matter of fact, it reminds me of a scripture. The king that sitteth on the throne scattereth away all the evil with his eye. You see, the king understands this. And who is the king? The king is the one who understands the science of mind. It's that simple and yet that profound. The king is the one who understands the processes of the mind and how to relate to the processes of the mind to achieve the good that he desires. That's why he's the king. You see, everybody is relating to the processes of the mind. That's the interesting thing about it. It doesn't matter who you are. Even if you say you don't believe in that old mind science, it doesn't make any difference. The scripture says, what if some did not believe? Would it make the law of God of none effect? No. You see, for day and night, 24 hours a day, from here to eternity, you're always relating to the law of mind. And your experience of life is the result of the way you relate to that law. So the king understood what he was doing when he placed that upright statue where the prince could see it every day. It's really the same, to go back, with Jacob putting the striped and the ring-straight poles into the water where the cattle drank as they conceived. You see, that's telling us the same thing. I told you before that the Bible really never tells you but one thing. It just tells you the same thing over and over again in different ways, in different figures of speech, in different stories, but it's always the same. The mind becomes like that which it looks upon. As the cattle conceived in the wombs of their mind, that which they brought forth looked exactly like that which they looked upon. Now, this is why we, as aware people, as self-conscious people, have to exercise a greater control over what we see than the Gentiles. And this is why we use scientific techniques. This is why those of us who are conscious of the application of the law will use visualization, treasure mapping. And let me say this while I'm at it. There should not be a one of you who do not have pictures around your personal environment representing the ideals of what you would like to be, to do, and to have. I want to repeat this because this is very important. I said it in the negative, I'll put it in the positive. Those of you who are aware of the processes of the mind, those of you who are aware of the processes of the mind's eye, should always have in your personal environment pictures, photographs, representations, statues of your ideals which you wish to be, to do, and to have. I pump iron 5 to 7 days a week. I jog every day. I don't miss a day jogging in a year. I don't know the last year I missed jogging. Now, what is the purpose of this? To keep my physical body in shape. But it's more than a physical exercise, it is a spiritual exercise, first of all, because it is the Holy Spirit which quickens my mortal body. But in my environment where I exercise, or my personal environments where I am every day, I have photographs of what I want my body to look like. Now, it does not yet appear 100%, but it's coming along. I'm playing in the courtyard, like the young prince. I've told you before to be sure to get magazines, and always on an ongoing basis select photographs from those magazines, travel brochures, which represent the ideals which you would like to be, do, and to have. Get town and country. Everybody that wants to be rich should get town and country. It represents the affluent lifestyles. And if you're interested in that, why, get that magazine. Read about those people. Look at those pictures. Your first assignment in this class is to engineer what your outer and inner eye beholds. Engineer that. You see, as we go around in the phenomenal world, our eyes can fall upon so many things. And if our eyes are just all, both inner and our outer, are always falling upon negative and indifferent things, then that's what we'll become like, and that's what we'll be beset with.
Protect your temple with the Solomon's Temple.
Peace, God. What's going on?
Hey, peace, God. How you doing?
Peace. Doing good, man.
How's everything?
You all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's great. Man, had a this past weekend, my parents' 50th anniversary.
Oh God, that's big.
Yeah, So we did a party for them. And they thought only about 100 people was going to, they thought it was going to be like a little small dinner. And
wow.
Came in, it was about 100 people there. Yeah.
Was it a surprise?
Yeah, they were surprised. All the people that were there.
Did they know before?
They didn't know. They just thought it was going to be a private dinner, you know, like a little family get together plus some friends, you know. Like maybe 10, 15 people, you know.
Yeah.
Got there, it was a big room full of people. About 100.
Wow.
About 100 or so people. It was really nice. You know, just get up there and, you know, hear my father. He was talking about how he met my mom. I didn't know they met him. He met my mom when she was 11 years old.
Wow. Wait,
11.
That.
In New York, they met in New York.
Wow.
They lived on the same street in Harlem, and So they've been, you know, 11. My mom had me when she was 17.
Wow.
You know. Yeah.
You know, that is amazing.
Mm-hmm. 17.
Now this is what you call a true. The twin flames.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Yes.
And which is higher than what people refer to as the soulmate. Everybody always, soulmate. There's a ton of soulmates. But
yeah.
The twin flame is that divine one. It's the one that, and see, you know, each time you come in, you will get somebody. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these are soulmates, you know, the ones that you. But the twin flame is that original split, and
mm-hmm.
you see it when you see people that be together from early, like how your parents did, and they just can't
mm-hmm.
separate from each other. They basically do their whole lifetime together.
Right, that's a lifetime,
and it lasts. Yeah.
Right, you know, 11 years old.
That's,
come on now.
That's a twin.
My mom being 11, my father was, because he said she lied about her age. She said she was 12. She
uh-huh.
even did that. The way we look at that now, just imagine your daughter at 12 dating somebody 4 years older than her.
Right.
You know, because my dad's 4 years older. You know, we couldn't handle that right now. You know, but. They and I look at that. My daughter's 13, you know, and I'm like, that made me really think. Like, wow, you know, 11, they met playing on the playground, and then to make it go to where they have 6 children and 50 years of marriage.
Wow,
50 years. My mom might have left the house briefly when I was a kid, but they ain't never seen them separated. Not to say they didn't have problems, but you know, just when I look back on things, I was like, dang, I've always assumed my parents are always gonna be together. That was never a thought that they would split up, you know?
Right.
Never came into my mind. Nothing. And my father said, yeah, we still have hard times, but we go through it.
That's right. Just a family.
Yeah,
right.
You know. Yeah.
But see, a lot of people, they
credited it to their religion, you know, they're Jehovah's Witnesses. They credited it to that, you know, having God in their life and stuff like that. They credited it to all that. And that got me to thinking. I said, people have their beliefs. And if it's working for them, let it have it. Let
That's
them
right.
have it.
That's right.
Let them have it. Don't criticize it. We can.
So one disadvantage. There are advantages and disadvantages. Like, you know, one disadvantage. Like, everybody got to have a high belief. But
right.
you're going to find all successful people got something greater than that they believe in. And sometimes that's
mm-hmm.
all you need. You don't got to know. Like I came here to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody ain't come here to understand. And they don't make them better
right.
or worse because they don't. You know?
Exactly.
So that's why I'm like, shit, you know, if it's working for you, I know some preachers that can channel and heal and do all kinds of stuff. I mean, like mm-hmm. they do all kinds of stuff. And they don't make them worse or better than the next person. It's just that it's just their level of understanding.
Right.
You know, you don't got to know the rhyme and reason everything. You know.
Mm-hmm.
As long
mm-hmm.
as you know.
Right.
And if that's working for them, then shit. You know. And I heard miraculous stuff and everything. It's this lady I seen.
It's working for
a week ago.
You know, it's working.
She came in a few weeks ago. And she was telling me that she was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
She had life in prison. And she had
mm-hmm.
a dream that it wrote on the wall, Yahweh is God. And if you
mm-hmm.
say my name is Yahweh, you will be free.
Mm-hmm.
And she had already served a number of years. She started saying Yahweh. She went to do her appeal. She got to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that would be, well, damn, that's the evidence. Anybody heard the story, say, well, damn, I better believe in this.
Mm-hmm.
This is 100% the truth. It ain't that that's the truth. It's just the fact that her energy aligned.
Right.
And if you can get your energy aligned, what you believe, it's going to be whatever it is. Because all of it is true.
Yes.
All of it is relevant.
It's what you believe. Like, they believe in what they believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, you know, I've been involved in that since I was about 5-6 years old. My mom first
mm-hmm.
took me to a Kingdom Hall. And she believes in that.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, that's all she needs. And isn't that where we're trying to get to the point of acceptance of what all we need?
Right.
What is, you know, our suffering comes from, we feel like we don't have all we need. So
right.
some people just want to go live off in the hut somewhere and just
mm-hmm.
live off the land. Some people want riches and
mm-hmm.
wealth and big houses and cars. That might be something they need. Some people just want to have
right.
a spiritual connection. You know, that's them.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what society has tried to do was take people from being an individual and accepting what they want for themselves and make, hey, you need to have this if you're going to be in this society. You want to be a part of this group, you got to have this. And you got to be this knowledgeable. And I'm
mm-hmm.
more and more I keep, and what's coming true, I had an epiphany months ago. And the truth
yeah,
is coming
yeah,
to me.
An epiphany. Yeah. Yeah.
And the truth is coming to me. We all striving for one thing and one thing alone.
That's right.
And that's to achieve nothing. Have nothing.
yeah, I mean,
and only the spiritual can understand what I'm saying.
That's right.
Only the spirits, only person with a higher elevated thinking can understand what I'm really saying.
Because mm-hmm.
all this other stuff is fleeting. It's, you know, I can have a nice car tomorrow.
That's right.
Wreck it, it's gone. I can have a lot of money tomorrow. Be gone tomorrow. That's all fleeting. And what I mean by gone, this flesh is going to go anyway.
That's
the flesh
right.
is the only one that needs the money.
That's right.
My spirit don't need it.
Don't need
you
it.
You know, in order to move around here, to even live where I'm living, I need the money to have those things.
Right.
So when if I just wanted to go live in the woods, I don't need no money. I can go take something, build me a little shelter, find a place to take your shit, piss, and find where I'm going to get my food from. I'm good. Really?
That's right. It's
you
not,
really slice
you know,
down.
And see, I know it's a lot of, like, based off what you just said, I know it's a lot of crap, you know, a lot of everybody out there, you know, it's a lot being said about COVID. But this is the point I want to
mm-hmm.
make based off what you said. This man was worth hundreds of millions. I don't know how much, but hundreds of millions of dollars. and then he gone now. And it goes to what you just said. You know, life is the great equalizer. You can't take not one penny with you, but he can take his works. Now your works go with you. Those go to like the good deeds that you do, as well as the negative things. They follow you into each lifetime, and so you come here with nothing and you leave here with nothing. And that's why I like saying, because man, nobody, and it says even in these little religious texts, it tell you, God is no respecter of a person. Respect no person. It said in so many ways and other things. So it's like, you can't, this helicopter can't crash. And so, yeah, this man was, things were going so well for him. We all can agree that he was writing books, and it was just like his life.
It looked like he was about to take off into a whole new career. That's what it looked like.
Whole another career. And guess what? And then you can't say, hey, wait a minute, try him out. God damn it. I'm finna go to the damn, I'm finna go to the Grammys. I'm finna, you know, take my daughter to practice. And it showed like a video with all these people waiting on them to come, and they was already, the helicopter already burnt up. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff going on about the way he died, and I get that too, but I'm just saying this in relation to support what you just said. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It means nothing.
Damn.
Because we all going towards nothing. You know, according to our understanding. We get, once I go, all the money I accumulate, houses, property, all that, somebody else is going to have it. Somebody going to live in it and enjoy
it. Probably going to fuck it up.
Right.
And probably going to waste it, squander it.
Yes. Right. But that ain't my concern.
Literally kissing away.
You know?
Fighting over it.
That ain't my
chill over it.
Right. And then you got to look at what's important. What is important? Understanding, like you say, build up that good spiritual karma so that when you do transition to the next life, you got something good to work with, you know? Because we all going, we're going to have to pay for our deeds. Whether they're good or bad, we're going to get repayment for our deeds. In this lifetime or the next, we're going to have to repay. All bills come due when it comes to our deeds. And that's all, it's neither positive or negative. That's just the way it is. And I come to realize that. Let me just try to get as much out of the way as I can right now.
That's right.
So I have less to work with later. You know?
That's right.
Get it out of the way right now, it's your time. People wasting time being upset over bullshit, you know.
And that,
like, yo.
And that's why, like, when I, you know, when I do readings for you, I show you there are things that you must learn in this lifetime. Must.
Mm-hmm.
If don't, you carry it on with you, you know.
Right.
And when it's finished, you know, I met somebody that had so much karma that they had to resolve in his lifetime. I've never seen nobody with this much karma. I'm used to seeing people with like two or three things they got to master in his lifetime. This person had five things. Now, when you got that much that you got to learn in his lifetime, there's a couple of factors. One factor is that your soul is fairly young, you know. But there's also the fact is that you can come here and fuck up so bad that it send you backwards. You know what I'm saying? And then I had this guy that had only one lesson to learn in his lifetime, but he had really did some really tremendous things. And that was going to set him back. So in his next lifetime, even though he was a little further ahead this lifetime, it was going to set him back with his next incarnation. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And So mm-hmm. you have to learn that. And now I know this sound like, oh, man, you know, how you know that shit? Man, when I do your reading and I be telling you shit, you're going to be like, how the fuck is that demonstrable? You can demonstrate this mm-hmm. with accurate demonstration. You know, it's the key to the matrix. You see, that's why, like, you know, every decade, every 100 years, every 1,000 years, there's different diseases and imbalances that emerge. You see,
mm-hmm.
You know, right now we're in the era where, you know, a lot of things emerge in regard mm-hmm. to cancer. We've been in the you know, the last and we'll go on for another 1,000 years. It's gonna be cancer and diseases of the blood, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And severe addictions, you know. If you understand how the universe goes, these are gonna be the things that's gonna affect us for the next 1,000 years, you see. And it's a lot of benefits that's going to occur during 1,000 years, but you can't have one without the other. You know, of course, there's been advancement and the reemerging of technology is old, but the reemerging of technology is doing this Aquarian cycle we're about to go through, but it comes with these diseases. Now, mm-hmm. They scan everybody, you know. I said, now, as soon as 2020 get here, we're going to have a new virus, a new flu, and it's going to be a lot more
viruses. You know what's messed up about that? They playing with us with the names, coronavirus. That's a mm-hmm. bit.
That's right.
They be playing so hard, they be like, look at these dummies, they'll believe anything. We're going to call it the coronavirus. Ain't that a damn bear or something?
Yeah.
I'm like, they know how to get us. Yeah, they get ridiculous mm-hmm. with this. And the thing about it is, now, I was in London, the news is totally different than it is over here. You see, so in London, it was like, it was a small thing. It wasn't that big of a deal. Then I get over here, right. It's all blown out of proportion. Like they got the whole country sacked to shut down. You know, nobody could fly.
And scared.
Yeah. Now they're saying it's a few cases over here. Hey, but somebody got their hand up.
Oh, great.
Let me get their call. 864-340.
Hey, peace and power. Peace, how man. You guys doing? Hotel.
Hey,
hotel.
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing all great. Right. I'm doing great. You guys are having an interesting conversation, and you know, one thing that kind of stood out in the last portion, in which you guys were speaking of, was Corona, and
right.
like you said, brother, Corona had something to do, you know, with the beer that we drank. But also, you know, we know Corona has everything to do with your eyes and
mm-hmm.
how a lot of these things are basically marketing ploys of distraction
mm-hmm.
to sell you something,
mm-hmm.
to get you to buy something, to buy into a hype, to buy into this. You know, even with the Kobe thing, it's definitely, you know, a tragic situation. But
right.
so many
mm-hmm.
people have, without knowing the brother, you know, they are sick, and I'm seeing people express more of their sympathy now that Kobe is transitioning, and sometimes even their own blood relatives transition. That's just
that's
the reality.
Right.
Not,
right.
Just,
right.
not telling
right.
anybody,
yeah.
not telling anybody that hey, they shouldn't mourn, but it's just this same superstar of this lust, this craving with entertainers. Is what I'm seeing, because my wife was telling me, I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with the Aaron Hernandez story, and talking
mm-hmm.
about how in that you had black women in which this Hispanic guy Latino, whatever. He killed a black, mm-hmm. He killed several black men. And,
that's
you know,
right.
You have a lot of black women that came to his aid that were throwing themselves at him, you know, even post them knowing that he was gay. You know, even though he's gay, I still give him some punani, or I still would have, you know, he fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just this lust for, you know, entertainers is what I'm sometimes finding. And, of course, Kobe was great on the court. How he was off the court, I don't really know. And I think
that's right.
That, you know, in my personal opinion, I'm not here to dog the brother, you know, but I'm just here to speak truth just as I do on my own ancestors, right? You know,
right,
and that's,
mm-hmm.
that is the thing that actually, you know, by us putting these things on the scale, that allows us to evaluate the pros and the cons of a person. It'll be very romantic,
mm-hmm.
and we will be romanticizing if we only looked at the good things that our ancestors gave us. We have to look at the negative things, not to beat them down and say, ha ha, you should have did this, but to correct
mm-hmm.
those things, because that is the important part. Like you brothers have been, you know, speaking about, we have to correct this bull crap that has been in our bloodline, right? And when
that's
I'm
right.
coming to do the work, of course it'd be great to do stuff on the court, it'd be great to do stuff on the field, but the real challenges is going on in and on your body, in and on your temple, in and on
that's
your
right.
mind. That is where the true game, and where we should be celebrated at completing levels of mastery in that, but which we aren't. You probably looked at as a cornball for mastering, going in, mastering yourself, rather than being promoted to a zenith,
mm-hmm.
and you know, in support. You know, in my bloodline, I've been able to become vegan. I've been able to go away from certain stagnations within my, but hell, a lot of times I feel like I'm more so demonized than looked at in this manner. But regardless if you are demonized or you're supported, this is the work that has to be done. Us coming here as, you brothers were speaking, I heard Solomon saying about karma. That is, you're here
that's
to
right.
clean up. You're here to clean up. You ain't here to, you know, even though they look good while you're dribbling that basketball, but how does that help you get further to what you are supposed to be doing in your bloodline? You understand?
That's right.
Are we, you know, even when I look at the brother and I looked at who we married, right, I don't know who she
right.
is, but I look at us as being black people, us as being African people. So, therefore, if a man marries a man, to me, that's not you supporting your consciousness of your bloodline. If a man marries, to me, in my opinion, now this is my opinion, whenever
right.
we as a black family, as the African family, rather than us trying to, or whatever we want to call ourselves, we know that we are the most, we are the family that have gone through the most. We're the most broken, right? So right now,
that's right.
for us, the thing that would make our ancestors proud is if we started to repair those things. You understand? To hell with all this other stuff that we're doing. It's the work that we're doing there to repair those relationships within our lineage, putting things back together where mother is looking like grandmother again. You understand?
Right.
Where when I go out and marry a woman, she gonna look and resemble my mama. Not where I'm trying to go out here and marry somebody outside of my race. And now
right.
that's you basically polluting your bloodline, you know, as it
right.
relates to really keeping things how they should be, where our ancestors' ancestors are proud of us. And they're saying, hey, this bloodline, this lineage is keeping things alive, going back again to the coronavirus, because you don't have to be eating no bats in order for you to get a virus in your corona. Or for you to get
right.
your vision all messed up, basically, because a lot of us, that's how they able to sell us these things, because our visions are messed up. That's why so many
right.
people saying they're going to take off of work. Y'all, don't bother me for the next week because Kobe has died. Nah.
Man.
Because
you have,
right, it's a loss if you want to mourn him, you know, enshrine him, get, you know, do and move on with your life. But somebody saying, well, hey, I can't
yeah.
for the kids, you know, that's showing
yeah,
how mentally sick we've gotten.
Yeah, I know. Like, somebody called me when it happened. Yo, Kobe died. And I'm like, and now this same person that called me was about to divorce their husband 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she had more sympathy for this man dying than she had for her own husband's shortcomings.
Man, I can give you a bunch of examples. When I'm listening to both of y'all say that, and I'm just shaking my head. Man, look, I'm not going to pretend like Kobe wasn't my favorite when he played. I really liked the way he played, but when I'm hearing the reactions from people, because, like, I know people, I've been to a few funerals last year, and I'm actually got most sympathy from, and I'm not saying that nobody should care, but what I'm saying is we don't know him.
I don't, like, when she called me, I was like, why are you calling me with this? Like, that went through my mind. Like, why are you calling me telling about Kobe dying? I mean, I feel bad for his son, his family. It's a tragic thing. But Kobe is not in my circle.
Right.
Kobe ain't never paid a bill over here. You know what I'm saying? So me watching him on TV never made me go out and start a business. You understand? So,
right.
Like, it's like, in the way she had called, she was all, oh, Kobe. I was like, and this same person was about to leave their husband all because she don't like the job he got. You know, he drives, he works for Amazon, you know, he makes money, but he had an unfortunate issue where he got something on his record that made him lose his Uber job. Something that happened to him over 20 years ago. Not really his fault, right? I don't want to tell his business. But and now he's got to take certain jobs because of that, and that hinders him. And plus, he's not really on the same information that she is on, that she don't even got together herself. She ready to leave him because she want him to make a lot more money.
Right.
You know, I was talking to her. I said, listen, you leave him, what you going to go to? You got two young kids.
Right.
What you going to get out there in the street? That man right there, he got a job and he's working. These dudes out here, they ain't trying to work for nothing. They trying to get over. What you going to go to? What you going to get? You got two small kids. Who going to come in and pick up that slack?
That's right.
Ain't nothing out here in these streets. There's nothing out here in these streets. You better get what you got and work with it and make, you know, bring it up. Now, she reconsidered her steps. But then seeing that reaction about Kobe, I was like, frankly, I'll be honest, I didn't really care about that. I have care on the level of that's a bad thing that happened for somebody.
Yeah.
That's my care.
Yeah.
That's as much as I cared about it. But far as letting it get into my psyche and being all emotional about it, that's going to distract me from what I'm doing. I don't want all that. And I had to stop her. I was like, yo, that's enough about Kobe. You know,
that's
tragic that it's happened to his family. But I don't want to sit here and talk about
that's
that
right.
tragedy because I bring that shit into my life. I don't want to talk about
that. Exactly.
You know?
And like I said, I'm being 1,000. He, you know, when he played, I enjoyed watching him play. And like the brother that God was saying, God made a lot of, I'm so glad he called. He made a lot of good points, you know. We don't know about his personal life. Because, you know, but as an athlete, he was enjoyable, but I ain't crying over him. Now, he said something else. He was talking about the bloodline. That's so important. Now, everybody is responsible. Like, okay, your first name speaks to your physical self. Your middle name speaks to your emotional self. And if you don't have a middle name, then you would use your last name. It'll be your emotional self. And your last name is your what the God was saying is your bloodline. It's your ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
It's your spiritual self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know I get, you know, some brothers get too far. So that's, it ain't no white man, last name. Don't,
sorry, brother. I used your mic by accident. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no. I fell off, brothers. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm like, how did this mic get muted?
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm glad, Solomon. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But see, that's your spiritual self and your bloodline self, your last name. And like the God said, you know, we got things we got to do within our bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so it's things, if you want to know the what you need to continue on, you have to look to that name. The things that you got to
mm-hmm.
do for your ancestors and you carrying the torch, even if you don't have your father's last name, it's still, that means
mm-hmm.
that you got to work, that you got to do on the last name that you carry. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he was saying about his queen, and I know it was saying that that him and his family wasn't speaking because of the, you know, his new wife, you know. And see, all that relates
right.
to your bloodline.
You right,
see?
That's separation.
Mm-hmm.
That's creating the stagnation in your bloodline,
mm-hmm.
you know. Just to agree with what you're
mm-hmm.
saying, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody don't got ideal cash, but you still got to
mm-hmm.
give them a respect. It's like, if you can, like, when he was speaking on the Hernandez trial, I watched that trial because I was just curious on how can a person have so much and lose everything, you know,
right.
over not being able to control his ego and his attitude. But it's something that I noticed that stood out to me besides what the God was saying, that he killed all these brothers and just treated, you know, just didn't have no regard for people. It's a part in it that when he's in trial, now keep in mind, this man, mama didn't die. All these families grieving over. He shot his friends out. He blew one of his boys. He shot him in the head because they argued, and the man lost his eye. And the man was up there talking about it. But it's something that stood out. When the man that owned the Patriots came to trial, this is the first time this man showed any emotion and any respect to somebody. You know, he if you had seen how he looked at the Robert Kraft guy, like he was a god, like he was his almighty god. But yeah, this man then kills all these people, and it just show you how we gotta learn how to value each other as brothers and sisters, not because somebody famous. You know, we gotta have that regard to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what made the Kraft man more valuable than the people that he killed because he was upset? And so this is why our ancestors always talk about life imitates art. When you look at the old
mm-hmm.
temple walls, you always saw us in the best, our best virtues always been painted. Now,
right,
you can
right.
see it on TV. You see men kissing men on commercials. You see all this
man.
Foolishness. And it's like, come on,
mm-hmm.
man. And so like so now you got people mourning over Kobe, who somebody didn't know, but it proving that life imitates art, and you're going to feel what you
mm-hmm.
see on that camera every day. You see,
mm-hmm.
whatever you see on that camera is doing stuff to you, because if your emotions can sway that quick, because you can feel if you go outside like on Monday, you can feel an energy shield from the God past. It was a you could feel a mourning amongst everybody.
Yes,
you see,
it was like unbelievable. Like you would think that Jesus got sacrificed the way
That's
this
right.
was going down. I'm like,
man.
What the hell?
Hey,
I don't know what contribution has Kobe Bryant done to society other than play basketball?
LeBron has did some things. Not that I'm care either way, but you can't say that about him.
Right.
I wanted to add on.
Okay.
They say that you love the devil because the devil gives you nothing. You know, not speaking of the brother in that manner, but you know, even as you're talking about Aaron Hernandez and how we kind of we threw our, you know, what the hell has Aaron Hernandez did for us for our women to now go mourn and cry over him or throw themselves. You know, even when I looked at Kobe Bryant's, you know, foundation, I never saw a person that could go and find so many homeless white folk. You understand? This is the real, not
right.
saying that there aren't any homeless white folk, but I'm sure he's in L.A. He's, you know,
right.
you got Skid Row. You got an overwhelming amount of brothers and sisters, which we already know we are in an oppressed situation, oppressed unjust paradigm, whether it be jobs, whether it be however, education, wherever. So a lot of
right.
times we are the ones that are homeless. But in a lot of the pictures that I saw of the brother, they were all white.
Uh-huh.
Even in the plane that went down in the Mamba Academy.
Wow.
you look at the Mamba Academy roster, there's like one or two black or colored girls. Everybody else is white.
Wow.
You know, so you kind of know, you know, even when we talk, because we look at the bloodline, it has everything to do with your consciousness. Your pioneer,
that's
the very
right.
thing that creates you and your experience this time around. So you either value it, you love it and respect it, or either you can throw it away. You can cut yourself
right.
away from it, just like you talking about doing these, being a homosexual, you know, having all these weird alternative lifestyles and relationships outside of the stuff that was. But I wanted to kind of go into something else. I want to ask you guys about the ritualistic motifs that kind of happened
right.
around this time before the Grammys,
that's
we
right.
had it with Whitney Houston. And it
that's
seems
right.
like mm-hmm. a lot of our entertainers, a lot of our the people that we have loved, they are perishing far more than you see these white folks. You see these old white folks, they be old as I don't know what. You know, and I wanted to kind of feel, you know, see how you guys felt
that's
about
right.
the ritual motif as it relates to being able to adapt your consciousness, get that virus
right.
on your corona around a certain time
mm-hmm.
when you should be. Like, we are in 2020, right? That's funny.
Right.
We're in 2020, and the main virus that they're talking about is basically an eye virus, a coronavirus.
That's right.
You understand?
That's
messing
right.
up your vision. So I ain't know how you
mm-hmm.
guys felt as it relates to ritualistic motifs at this time.
I believe it is a ritualistic planned situation.
That's right.
Because what you're going to see is somebody's going to flourish from this. You'll see somebody going to blow
that's
up
right.
a superstar from this situation. And just the way it was publicized, we had Whitney Houston die, we had Luther Vandross, all these big people who died, but they didn't get this much recognition. This was like, this
they
news
did.
Was like the last time we had something this big, Michael Jackson died.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Last time it was just publicized, the way people are reacting. You know, I love this Michael Jackson. When he died, I was like, oh, that hurt me, you know, because I was a big fan of his. But at the same time, Michael Jackson did a whole lot of stuff for people. You know,
right.
he did do humanitarian things around the world. Yeah, around the world that he never got recognition for. So
that's right.
And see, and y'all got, if y'all were paying attention, Kobe Bryant was in the news a lot leading up to his death.
A whole lot.
I saw him on a different station. I was like, dang, all of a sudden, what's going on with him? And then this happens, you know?
Yeah. It ain't no coincidence. Besides the you know, they got a video with the you know, the cartoon with the
what?
With
right,
the
they're right,
the,
yeah.
right
with the helicopter.
Yeah.
They had
the helicopter.
This lady saying,
But you know, lady saying the N word, saying calling him a nigga. Now I know they paid that lady to say that because it was no
right,
reason
right.
for her to
I'm
say
glad
nigga.
You said
that.
That
was by design.
I said that is
it ain't no
that
accident.
Is not an accident. That ain't no accident. I'm glad
let one of us had said faggot or something like that. Now they finding out it would have been all over.
It would have been all over.
Yeah.
No.
But guess
they,
what you,
no,
but
no,
guess
no,
what
no.
you
said? Let me tell you.
She said it was casted beautifully. And I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? It's casted beautifully. So this was casted beautifully. Then all of a sudden she says the N word. And I'm like, they let you know that that's a call and call to let you know this is us right here.
That was cold to let you know we're gonna take y'all niggas out whenever we feel like it. I'm telling you, I know
that's right.
Because the way the sentence flow of her sentences didn't make sense.
And to say the word
nigga, you a newscaster, you ain't going to make that mistake and say that word. And she said it clear. Like, it
clearly
wasn't nig, and then she pulled back. She said nigga.
And there was no reason for her to say it.
But then
the reality is that you got, like, again, this whole juicy thing where they're going to trick you. Well, now they're supporting the claim saying that she didn't even say that. She said naked.
They got all this sound equipment to study. Man, come
on,
bro.
Come on.
You already know.
They know our people. Let me tell you something interesting about that, though.
Okay.
The sisters who heard it, this is how I know our sisters are definitely programmed against us.
Right.
This really solidified it. I talked to two different sisters, and both of them was trying to justify.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Wow. Coronavirus.
They were saying, oh, you know, if she hadn't tried to justify it, I probably would have given her credibility that she didn't say niggas. And I said, you ain't had to hear her justify it. She clearly said the word nigga. You didn't hear that?
Clearly.
She said, I could have gave her, maybe she did say knackers. I'm like, wait a minute. How does knackers sound like niggas? I'm like, but I'm telling you, our sisters' minds are truly overrun.
That's right.
By their information.
That's right.
Because I'm like, when I got that text, I was like, oh my God. I was like, it ain't the point whether, you know, that is whatever. Just look at what you actually heard. Let's just see. Stay right there. You heard, I heard niggas. Clearly.
That's right.
With the G. And it was said in the way that it was so natural and it flowed off her tongue. You know she say that all the time.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You're a person who ain't used to cussing. Then when they ain't used to cussing, you can tell that a person not used to use fuck or shit or something like that. You can tell they not used to talking like that. And that was planned.
And again, looking at the ritualistic motif, they did that shit blatantly, just to let you
know.
Yeah, they did it.
I don't give a damn if Shaq is in it. Even with the millionaires, the entertainers, everybody staying in line. Ain't nobody pushing up like, hey, I'm putting my millions on the line to make sure this broad gets her ass fired. You know, she still got a job, so that lets you know how.
No, they fired her, but you know she working somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Right.
But you
right,
know,
okay.
She got paid more money for saying that than if he wouldn't got paid for not saying it.
That's another good point. Even with George Zimmerman, after he killed Trayvon, he was looked at as like a hero. And I think they say he worked for a lot of money. Well, people were donating, you know, white power, white people, you know, white privilege, they're donating to assist those people, GoFundMe's behind
they
closed.
Should,
you know,
any cop
reality.
That shoots a, any cop or
right.
anybody that kills a black person, white people
right.
come out and they donate to the cause.
Right.
To support
right.
it.
Right, absolutely right.
So it ain't
absolutely
about
right.
whether it's right or wrong. They just support the fact that
they killed the nip.
They took us out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then,
oh,
like, man,
it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah. That company, that Comedy Central cartoon was done in advance. So I bet you all these entertainers gonna be panicking if they see themselves on the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now
let me ask you
guys one more question. Now the night before Kobe Bryant died, maybe some hours before Kobe, LeBron had written on it. I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with Juju, Particle Magic, and you know how you can stomp somebody out when you put that name on your shoe or in your shoe. That's a way that, you know, with Juju, Voodoo, whatever it is, but you can put somebody's name in your shoe. But what LeBron did the night before was wrote the Black Mamba 824, you know, long live or something. That was before he died. Right, and he had beat his scoring title, Kobe's scoring title in Philly. Right, this is a fact. Right, the night before, so we were talking about rituals and talking about LeBron came out making a statement that it's a responsibility for me to carry Kobe's legacy, you know, on now, because we know Kobe won't make it to the Hall of Fame. You understand? So this is just the reality inside, you know, understanding, you know, you guys can look at the black and gold shoe, and, you know, black and gold is the color of Anpu or Anubis, the you know, he's the leader of the quote-unquote underworld, right? So you know,
he did that on the shoe.
Right, he did that night before. So, matter of fact, that was,
you know,
I think
That's textbook.
Right.
That's magic right there for sure.
Right.
I didn't know that.
At the bottom, he put his name at the bottom of his shoe. So, like I said, even in Voodoo, or with Juju, Particle Magic, you know, you put somebody's name in the freezer.
Yes.
You're going to put them on, if you put their name in your shoe, or you put it on,
that's
you know,
right.
that's a way to stomp them out. But he put
that's
Kobe's,
true.
You know, on the very bottom of his shoe. You know what I'm saying? So
man.
We're talking about ritualistic motifs. But you just
put me on. I did not know he did that. Cause and then you got the whole planet. I didn't watch that game. I wish I had seen that. He got the whole planet observing that, which makes it stronger. You know,
right?
That's like a Super Bowl ritual. That's
right before the Grammys. Right before the Grammys, right before the Super Bowl, we know that this is high time for a lot of those rituals and shit to go down. Y'all know that. Y'all been having it. Anybody had their eyes open, they know they do a lot of ritual workings around this time. Before the Grammys, before the, you know, what else is coming? The All-Star Weekend about to come up. The Super Bowl about to come up. It's a lot of money. Like they say, a lot of people work more money dead than they are alive. So a lot of these blood suckers come out to eat. They gonna come out to eat around this time. You understand? They come out and feed off this Shechem. They feed off all this Ashe, this energy that's out there. They gonna be feeding off that shit. You know?
That's right.
But that kind of struck me as kind of odd. The night before Kobe transition is the night when LeBron beat, you know, went to, you know, top Kobe scoring record.
See, I would have watched that game if I didn't know that it was the I didn't know his record was, I didn't know he was that close to his numbers, to be honest with you, because he ain't really
right.
no cause if I had known that, I would have watched that game. I did not know that game.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, God, we gotta. I didn't realize it was this late.
Yeah, it's 11:04.
All
right,
okay.
Hey,
God,
see y'all next week.
Thanks.
Next week.
Hey,
all right, peace.
I want to say this. Hey, God, I want to say this for you, you know.
Go ahead.
We're going to
Solomon Temple is moving to 7201 Park Lane Road. We'll be there starting on February the 5th. We're gonna be about a mile from where we was. And I appreciate all the support over the years. And we'll still have the same number, 803-661-8945. If you need a reading, a consultation, please call. You need anything for your health product, we'll be on 7201 Park Lane Road. Thank you. And peace to the family.
Thank you, brother.
All right, peace, God. All right,
peace.